Please do take a seat. And Flame is going to go out now, so if the children want to go out. Shall we pray for them quick? Is that okay? Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just give thanks for all of the children here, Lord, and the leaders too. Will you bless them? Will they have fun? And may they go in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Cool. Have fun. Who's got their Bibles with them today? Hey, that was a good trick. So we're going to be looking at Galatians 3, 1 to 5. So if you want to go to that, we'll be following the NIV. If you've got the NRSV, you've got golden points there. Okay, it's a good translation. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly exhibited as crucified. The only thing I want to learn from you is this. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? Have you started with the Spirit? Are you now ending with the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If it is really was for nothing, well then, does God supply you with the Spirit and work miracles among you by doing the works of the law or by your believing of what you've heard? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Adam Wingrove and I'm the curate here. So that means first dibs on the ice cream. Any testers, you know, that sort of thing, I'm here. A Gunge as well, that's coming up. I'm really looking forward to that, as you can tell. So I'll be speaking today on Galatians 3, 1 to 5, and if it's a really poor sermon, I've made you some banana bread as a penitent, so do help yourself to that afterwards. If we can have my first slide, if that's okay. There we go. I'm a bit of a history geek, which I make no apologies for. It's good to understand the context in which scripture is written in, so we can have a good understanding of what's been said. So the letter to the Galatians was written by Paul around 49 AD. In Antioch. Prior to that was the Jerusalem Council in 50 AD. The target audience here is the churches in southern Galatia. So this is modern-day Turkey, I believe. Yeah. And so I've circled the churches of which Paul is talking to in this time. And you'll be able to see other books that you might recognize about. So letters to Ephesus, Laodicea and Colossians as well. Can't see any more. No, I think they're good. So, but there's a few names on the map that are mentioned also in the New Testament. So if you think last week you may have heard about General Synod was a bit of an interesting one. Well, the Galatian churches also had their disagreements and problems to sort out as well. And so what Paul is addressing, you've got two different cultures that have come together. So you've got ones that are previous Jewish and they are under the law who have now become Christians. And you've also got those that are Gentiles that are now also Christians and both are believing in Christ. So Paul founded the church in Galatia on his first mission journey, and he's on his way to Galatia, and so he's writing a letter to go before them, and he's a bit cheesed off, if I'm honest. And so what's happened is that the Galatians, some of the Jewish folk there, are trying to bring in some of their old religion, and it's having an impact on their faith. And so let's have a look at that. So Paul had his way with words. Imagine if Bishop Olivia or someone from the Oxford Diocese sent a letter to all of the churches saying, you foolish people, you foolish Berkshire folk, you know. It wouldn't go down quite so well, but don't worry, the type of language in them days was actually quite normal, so they wouldn't have taken an insult to it, which is fine. But one thing that he stresses in this is he says, you who have been witched before you. So that type of language is because there was a lot of sorcery and magic and trickery going on, particularly, and some of that is happening in the Galatian church, which we're about to find out. And he was wanting to find, he knew exactly who was spreading this false teaching, but he's starting to place certain questions that is allowing the listener to start reflecting over their own journey, which will lead them back to Christ. I don't know who here remembers the PPI call-outs or anything like that, when you get fake emails come through and they've been quite misleading sometimes, haven't they? Or drink this drink and you will lose 2 stone in a sip or something like that. You know, some of the adverts and scammers are really quite misleading, but can also be really convincing as well. A couple of weeks ago, someone from O2 phoned me up and said, hello, Mr. Wingrove, we would like to give you 50% off your phone contract. Excellent. This is great news. I'm going to send you a text message, and you just need to, you know, read this code back to me. And I was about to, and then the text message at the bottom said, do not give this code to anyone because they're trying to gain access to your phone account. And then I realized, I've been scammed. So I phoned up O2, and we got it sorted, which was good. But sometimes, when people in life, they can try and trick us, it sounds so convincing. It's like the truth, but it isn't. And so this is what Paul is addressing right now. Next slide, please. In verse 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Now, of course, he knows the answer to this. He's just, you know, bringing them along in this conversation with the church in Galatia. He's using it to draw them in as a bait. And so Paul knows some of the members were at Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit. He knows they've received the Pentecost. He's seen them use miracles and seen the Spirit work among them. So Paul tests them saying this, did you receive the Holy Spirit through the works of the law or by believing what you heard? And he's doing this so then at point of conversion, so they've already had that conversion experience, and so by receiving the Holy Spirit and seeing God work through them, so he's asking them to reflect on that. And that will make them lead back from their from the Judaizers, the law, having the faith in that, to coming back to Jesus Christ. And our characteristic as a Christian is that we believe in the living God living in us, the God who was crucified, died, and rose again, lives within us. And by them rejecting of their conversion of and believing in the Holy Spirit, they are then basically saying, we're rejecting Christ. And so what Paul is doing is just getting them to think about their conversion experience to come back to their belief in Christ. I wonder, can you remember your conversion experience or maybe someone else's, that particular special, unique moment? Paul is bringing them back to their belief in Jesus Christ by asking them to reflect on their conversion. Practically, when receiving the Holy Spirit, they receive the Holy Spirit by not attending church, by not giving the most amount in tithing, by not praying fancy prayers in fancy language, by not dressing in certain clothes or acting in certain way. No. They did it just because they had belief in Jesus Christ. And that is the central message in our gospel, is that we are to have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, next slide, please. Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit? Are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Reiterating his point earlier, the Jews converted to follow Jesus. And so in their persecution, so when the Jews became Christians, they were persecuted because of their decision to convert. And so what Paul is saying here is that now that you've gone back to your faith, was that persecution worthless? Recently, if you go on to the next slide, please. Recently, I had a haircut. I made a mistake. It's an app, so you book in advance and you pay in advance. And so I text the guy. I've never seen him before, never used him before. Where's your barbers? Where's the actual location of where it is? It turns out it's a mobile barbers, and which was a bit of a surprise. And so he rocks up in this big van that parks outside your house, and you walk outside, and he, you go inside the van, and he starts cutting your hair, etc. And so he said, after a quick introduction, he said, so Adam, what do you do for a job? And I said, funny enough, I'm going to get ordained next week as a vicar. I didn't use deacon because I didn't have the time to explain what that is. And to cut the story short, he said, what do you believe, you know, why do you believe in God then when you can't see God? And so I said, well, the same reason you believe in wind, you can't see it, but you can see the effects on trees, you can feel it on your face, on your body, you can see it on the plants in front of you. And in the same way, I believe in God because I see him in people. I see him in the church, full of people, how they serve and love people unconditionally. And so sometimes in life, you know, we can get persecuted, can't we? You know, people might call us names. They might actually stop being our friends because of our faith in Jesus. I know in some countries that having faith in God means the death penalty. It means either having a Bible or having a home or having your family killed and chased in front of you. That's persecution. And so Paul, what he's saying here in verse 4 is, you know, was that really worth it? That you've turned your back and you've experienced that and you've gone back to your old ways. Was it really worth it? Next slide. In verse 5, Paul comes into land with a final question but repeats a point. But does God give you a spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by what you're believing, what you've heard? In other words, have you received the Spirit and work miracles by Moses or by works of the law? So I wonder, have you ever prayed a prayer and you've seen God answer it? Did that happen because of by how good you've been? Or did that happen because he is a God who just loves you unconditionally for the person that you are, for no good reason whatsoever, for just as you are, he loves you, and he's done it because of that reason? And that's exactly what Paul is saying here, is that our faith and belief in Jesus Christ is not conditional on how we behave, how we dress, how we might behave or talk or speak, how we do stuff to impress others. He says none of that at all. and that we are just who we are because we are created and loved by him. And that is the reason why we are have received such gifting. And to have faith in Jesus is really quite unique. It's something that you can't always explain, especially trust, but you know that your faith and belief in Jesus Christ is absolute. It's the foundation of who you are. And having a faith and belief in Christ is not, it's not like a walk in a park, is it? Not always, anyway. I think faith and trust and believing in Christ is spelled R-I-S-K, risk. And it's a risk worth taking. In verse 5, Paul comes into land. And so throughout all of this, especially by what you've received in the spirit and work of the miracles by Moses, one thing that I'm going to share something quite personal, actually. When we were moving here, there were 17 people in my year group at Trinity College in Bristol. And it was quite difficult because they were... You know, this wasn't out of proudness or anything like that, but they were showing their curacy houses out of excitement to us. And me and Emma at the time had no house confirmed. We had no moving date confirmed. I think we just got school places confirmed. And we were kind of wondering, you know, okay, God, what are you doing here? You've called us to this place very clearly, but where's this house? And bless Paul, he had to put up with us for a couple of calls. I think there's about 3 or 4 calls in 1 week because me and Emma were quite anxiety ridden and we just needed some reassurance. And he had a plan, a backup plan of A, B and C and so on. He was really good. We even signed up to the local estate agents to have like an email straight away of when houses would come out on the market. So we would be the first people. And so we would WhatsApp each other or send an email really quick. And there was this one house down Washington Drive that came up. And so Paul booked us to go in and see it, and we were told, what was it, there's how many other families? 22 other families interested in this in this house. And so we arranged to meet up with Sue. So we parked up here and walked down to Washington Drive. And through that, it was just nerve-wracking. We pulled up and we got inside, bearing in mind that we've owned on this advert, there were only 2 pictures of this house, of the kitchen and the bathroom, which they're nice. They're very nice. But that's, I just thought, oh, it's just a clumsy kind of estate agent that hasn't been bothered to go around taking the rest of the pictures. But it became, there was a reason because of that. And that there were holes in some of the doors and wallpaper coming off, and there's holes in the carpet, etc. And I was just thinking, oh no, what are we letting ourselves in for? But the thing is that we knew it was the place that God has called us to be, and that this was particularly the right place in that right moment. And I remember washing up one time at home, and a song came on, You Are Able. And it spoke of that in any situation, God is able to overcome anything. All we are required to do is to have belief and faith in him. And so when I stepped out of the car after driving 1.5 hours from Bristol down here to have a look at this house, and we walked up with Sue, and we saw another family literally walk out of that house. And my heart was going because I'd be like, I never actually, if I'm honest, prayed for someone not to get a house before. But I have to admit I did. And so I said, your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. Not mine, but your will be done. If you've called us to be in this house, you will make it happen. And so not because he has particular favor on me over the other person, but because that's, you know, that's just how he wants it to be. And so... So we got there and we said yes straight away, even the condition it was in. And Sue was excellent. She was very reassuring. And then we drove back to Bristol and we spoke about it kind of and you know, is this the right place? Is this, you know, what have we let ourselves in for? And then I think maybe a week or so later, Paul came back off his holiday and he sent us an email of all of the decoration and stuff that the landlord was going to do. And it's one of these houses that as a child, I've grown up wishing this is what my future family would have, this exact house. And I say that to you because I had to start putting faith and belief and trust in God again for the provision for my family. And so I had to take the control that I was wanting of this whole kind of house, because you do as a father or as a parent, because you want best for your family and your children. And so I was wanting to control the whole situation, but I couldn't because it was completely out of my own hands. And so I wonder today, is there something in your life that you're wanting to take, that you've got control of, because it's all consuming you with either worry or anxiety? Is there a situation perhaps that is really weighing you down and you can't do anything about it? Why don't we take a stand if you're able to? And so the Galatia church, what Paul was doing is saying, come back to your first love. Come back to what you have received in the first place, which is Jesus Christ. And so if there is anything that is weighing you down and that you want to hand over to God, what I'd encourage you to do is shut your eyes, put your hands out in front of you. Don't worry about anyone around you. And in your mind, place that thing that's weighing you down or giving you anxiety or what you're worrying about. It could be health, it could be family issues, work, money, you name it. It could be anything. There's something that's weighing you down. Just put that in your mind into your hands. And when you're ready to hand it over to God, to say, Lord, this is in your hands, not mine. I give you the control and I submit and worship to you. Take this weight, this pain away from me. And when you're ready to do so, just turn your hands over to the ground and let it fall out of your hands.